Welcome to Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman, and we are excited to begin Divrei Hayamim, the concluding Sfarim, in this remarkable two-year journey. As we finish this cycle of Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi and prepare for the next cycle, your learning experience and takeaways are valuable. Please go to ou.org/women/nachsurvey, NACHSURVEY, to share your thoughts and insights. For Torah Rimecha January 22 Siyum updates, please sign up at ou.org/women/Siyum. Mazel Tov, and now let's continue with Divrei Hayamim Aleph with Mrs. Stacy Goldman.
Hello, my name is Stacy Nechama Goldman. Welcome to Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacy Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek He, Chapter 5. We now turn to the 2.5 tribes that settled on the other side of the Jordan River. If you remember in the Book of Bamidbar, Chapter 32, Reuven and Gad, who had an abundance of livestock, approached Moshe to ask not to continue on with the rest of the tribes to the land of Israel, but rather to stay there, the land of Gilad, on the east bank of the Jordan River, and settle there with their livestock and families. Moshe responds angrily. He thinks this will be a repeat of the return of the spies when all of Israel was discouraged to enter the land of Israel by their reports. They assure Moshe that they have no intention of abandoning the rest of the tribes or to discourage the others from entering the land of Israel. They commit to helping with the conquest of the land of Israel and then returning to their chosen property afterwards. We will see near the end of this chapter that they are the first to be exiled by the Assyrians. The chapter ends with the beginning of the Levi'im that will take us through the next chapter. Rather than beginning with a list of the descendants of Reuven, our chapter begins with a brief history of how Reuven, Yaakov's firstborn son, lost his birthright to the sons of Yosef and the ascendants of Yehuda as leader over his brothers. Uvnei Reuven, Bechor Yisrael, ki hu ha-bechor, ubechalalo yitzu'e aviv, nitzna bechorato livnei Yosef, ben Yisrael, velo lehityaches la-bechora. And the sons of Reuven, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but when he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Yosef, the son of Israel, but not to be reckoned in the genealogy of the firstborn. Bet, ki Yehuda gavar be'achav, ulenagid mimenu, ve'habichora li'Yosef. Because Yehuda prevailed over his brothers, and the one appointed as prince was to be from him, but the birthright belonged to Yosef. Several questions emerge from these two verses. What does it mean that Reuven defiled his father's bed? How did the sons of Yosef get the birthright? And when did Yehuda prevail over his brothers? The answer to all these questions can be traced back to Bereshit, beginning with the death of Rachel Imenu at the end of chapter 36. After burying his wife, Yaakov sets off with the rest of his family and pitches his tent. We then read a shocking verse. Vayehi bishkon Yisrael ba'aretz ahi, vayelach Reuven, vayishkav et Bilha pilegesh aviv, vayishma Yisrael. Vayu v'nei Yaakov shneim asar. And it came to pass, when Israel sojourned in that land, that Reuven went and lay with Bilha, his father's concubine. And Israel heard of it. And so the sons of Jacob were 12. Could it be that Reuven actually lay with his father's concubine? Rashi explains, based on the Gemara in Shabbat 55b, that Reuven did not actually sleep with her. Rather, when Rachel died, Yaakov moved his bed from Rachel's tent to Bilhah's tent. Reuven took this as the ultimate insult to his mother, Leah. In protest, he disarranged his father's bed. This was tantamount to sleeping with his father's wife. There are two clues that this is a proper reading of the verse. One, the verse in Bereshit describing Reuven's actions concludes with the statement that Yaakov had 12 sons. This is one of the only verses in the Torah that has a break of white space in the middle of it. It seems to be making a statement that regardless of this action, Yaakov's sons continued to number 12. Surely a son who had committed such a heinous crime would be disinherited. And two, our verse in Divrei Hayamim, which states plainly that he defiled his father's bed, not that he slept with his wife. As a result of this action, he did lose his birthright and the right to kingship, but he was still counted as the firstborn of Yaakov. Rashi explains, now, if you ask, since he was the firstborn, why did the kingship not emanate from him? He was indeed the firstborn, but when he desecrated his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Yosef. Now, if you ask, if so, why did the sons of Yosef not reign? He therefore says, but not to be reckoned in the genealogy as the firstborn. For example, the sons of Yosef were not meant to take the share of the kingship, but only the birthright. Because Yehuda was the most fit to reign, even if Reuven had not defiled the birthright, and it had not been taken from him. Reuven kept the title of firstborn, but Yosef took the birthright in that he received a double portion of his inheritance with his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and the rulership was passed down to Yehuda because he was most fit to lead. Radak tells us that this is a short genealogy, just mentioning the heads, as we have seen previously in this book. Among those mentioned is Be'era. In verse 6, Be'era beno asher hegla tiglat pilneser melech Ashur hun asi l'Reuveni. Be'era his son, whom Telegit Paleser, the king of Assyria, exiled. He was the prince of the Reubenites. Rashi explains the chronology of Telegit Paleser in the context of the Assyrian kings. He preceded Sennacherib, and this was their sequence. Pul was king when Menachem, the son of Gadi, was crowned, which you can read in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 19. And it says in verse 29 there, in the days of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, came. And in the days of Hoshea, the son of Elah, Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, came. In the days of Chizkiah was Sennacherib. But our rabbis explained that Pul and all the rest of them are identical with Sennacherib. Sennacherib was the king of Assyria that exiled the northern kingdom and the 10 tribes. Rashi explains he was the prince of the Reubenites at the time that Tiglath-Pileser exiled him. Be'era was then one of the last Reubenite princes before the fall of the northern kingdom to the Assyrians. The Midrash, Psikta de Rav Kahana 24, informs us that he was called Be'era because he was a well, Be'er, of Torah. So why did he die in exile? So that the 10 tribes would return on behalf of his merit. Indeed, the prophet Hoshea is described as the son of Be'eri, who is understood to be the same man. Rashi tells us in Yeshayahu chapter 8, verse 19, that Be'eri was the prophet of verses 19 through 20, which concern the exile of the 10 tribes. It was not long enough to merit its own book, so it was attached to Yeshayahu. Verse 10 strays from the genealogy to give us a short historical account. Uvime Sha'ul asu milchama im ha-hagri'im v'yiplu bi'adam v'yashvu be'ohalehem al kol p'nei mizrach l'gil ad. In the days of Sha'ul, they made war with the Hagarites, and they fell into their hands, and they dwelt in their tents over the entire face of the east of Gilad. Can you guess who the Hagarites are? Metzudat David confirms that these are the children of Yishmael, who are called by the name of his mother, Hagar. Our chapter now continues with the genealogy of Gad. Radak explains that the four names mentioned in verse 12 were the four leaders, Yoel, Shapham, Yanai, and Shaphat. He brings a midrash from the Gemara in Pesachim 68, which identifies Shaphat as the father of Elisha, the prophet. We conclude the genealogies of Reuven and Gad in verse 17 to say that their family lines were traced in the days of Yotam, king of Yehuda, and Yeravam, king of Israel. Radak points out that Yotam and Yeravam did not rule at the same time, and this seems to be a confusion of chronological order. He suggests that Yotam may indeed have judged at the same time as Yeravam, while his father, Uzziah, was stricken with Tzara'at. This could be the time period we are referring to. We learn of more victories on this side of the Jordan River over more Hagarites, or children of Ishmael, before relating the half of the tribe of Manasseh that also dwelled on that side of the Jordan. Perhaps the half of Manasseh's tribe is not mentioned earlier with the genealogies of Reuven and Gad, as they did not request from Moshe to stay in the land of Gilad. Moshe placed them with Reuven and Gad. Perhaps this was to keep up their love for Israel, as we know that their ancestor Yosef had a great love for the land. The genealogy of these 2.5 tribes concludes by informing us of their premature exile before the other tribes in the kingdom of Israel, by Pul and Tileget Pilneser, kings of Assyria, because of their idolatrous ways, and perhaps also because of the value they placed on their cattle, to the extent that they did not want to dwell in the promised land. Our chapter ends with the beginning of the tribe of Levi, focusing on the line of Kehat, which Mitzudat David explains is in the merit of Moshe and Aaron, who descend from him. Verse 36 creates some chronological confusion. It states, V'yochanan holid et Azariah, hu asher kihen bebayit asher bana Shlomo b'Yerushalayim. And Yochanan beget Azariah. He is the one who served in the temple that Shlomo built in Yerushalayim. Why does it tell us that Azariah is the one who served in the Beit HaMikdash, when Tzadok, mentioned in verse 34, was the first Kohen Gadol to serve in the temple, as mentioned in the book of Kings 1, chapter 1, verse 34, where it states Tzadok the Kohen and Natan the prophet with regard to David's proclamation that his son Shlomo would be king? Radak conjectures that perhaps Azariah is given the honor of this description because he risked his life to protect the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash when King Uzziah, a descendant from Yehuda, entered the temple to burn incense, a job that only a Kohen could do. This is when Uzziah, as we mentioned above, had Tzara'at. Sariah, mentioned in verse 40, was the last Kohen Gadol to serve in the temple. Mitzudat Zion refers us to the book of Kings and Yirmiyahu, where it says that he was killed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Yehotzadok, the last person mentioned in this genealogy of high priests, did not serve in any temple, but his son Yehoshua served at the beginning of the second temple. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef. Tzvi Yosef.